We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And what a lovely time I had walking through the sauna between here and my apartment building. My God, it's hot. I mean, it's just oppressive. Suppressive. It's just a mess. You know, when you go to Vegas, it's hot. And I remember as a kid, my grandmother, aunt, and my grandfather lived in Phoenix, Arizona. And so every year our summer vacation was driving in the white Ford station wagon from New Orleans to Phoenix without AC. Yeah. I don't know how we did it. I mean, then we got an air cooler for the car, and then we ultimately had AC. But man, in those early years, 3 days. 3 days there, 3 days back. And it was hot. But you didn't sweat. Same thing with like Vegas. You go to Vegas. It's hot, but you don't really sweat. But this is just, in fact, even in Portland, when I was there a month or so ago, it was hot. It got up to 95 degrees one day. And that's really hot for that part of the country. But the humidity is like 23%. So it's just, it's really, really nice. This is just oppressive. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about this afternoon. The daily Facebook video is up. It is posted. It's about the Catholic guidance counselor who is being asked to choose between dissolving her marriage or resigning or being fired. The Catholic high school guidance counselor, she is married to a woman. And that's the problem. Should that matter? The school has a right to fire her. The school has a right to have a conduct clause. But when you think about everything going on with the Catholic Church and the priests and the sexual abuse and the way that's been handled, it's getting better, but it's still not great. With the way all that's been handled, do you think it really matters if a Catholic guidance counselor, a woman, is married to a woman? Anyway, that's the subject of the daily Facebook video. That conversation is going on right now on our Facebook page. It's WWL Radio, and I have also posted it on the SOTA Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I have some advice for President Trump and Papa John's owner, John Schnatter. Here's the advice. This is real simple, guys, real simple. Don't use the N-word. Period. Exclamation point. End of conversation. Don't use it. So apparently, former White House staffer Omarosa has a recording of President Trump's staff members trying to figure out. In fact, we've got a recording of that. This is a recording that comes from Omarosa. She has been recording some conversations because she says that sometimes they have a conversation and then they change the conversation. Here's what she recorded and is sharing with the world about the president's staff trying to figure out how they're going to spin the story of Trump using the N-word.
I'm trying to find out at least what context it was used in to help us maybe try to figure out a way to spin it.
I said, well, sir, can you think of any time that this might have happened? And he said, no.
Well, that's not true.
He goes, how do you think I should handle it? And I told him exactly what you just said, Omarosa, which is, well, it depends on what scenario you're talking about. And he said, well, why don't you just go ahead and put it to bed?
Okay, I don't know. So maybe he didn't use it, but it seems like there's pretty strong evidence that he did. But, you know, also following a story about the owner of Papa John's Pizza using the N-word, he recently stepped down as chairman, and now Papa John's stock is down 10.5% in the month of July and down 6.1% for the most recent quarter. You see, you can't use the N-word. And when you're a famous person, you're really going to get in trouble. So the best thing to do is just simply not use the N-word. Is it that difficult? We'll talk more about this in the next hour. And then is there a difference? And I know a lot of you are going to want to argue this. Is there a difference between white men in powerful positions using the N-word and blacks using it as a casual term for each other or in a song? We're going to talk about that in the next hour. LaToya Cantrell, our new mayor, has reached 100 days in office. Everything okay so far? Yeah, I mean, I don't have any complaints. The problems with the Sewage and Water Board, this goes back to the Landrieu administration. Now, I realize that she hasn't really reached a point where she's got to deal with a real crisis yet. So let's see how she'll be tested when she deals with a crisis. I mean, well, hopefully she doesn't have to ever deal with it with a crisis. But as far as I know, everything is okay. You know, people who hate her already have already got a preconceived idea of not liking her. Okay, so here's some good news. Crime is down in New Orleans. But do you feel any better? NOPD Chief Michael Harrison will join us live on the air at 1:35 to talk about this. Does the news and do social media give us such a negative view of our city that it's not realistic? And if that's the case, how do we change that? The news doesn't follow people that have a good day. In fact, maybe this is something that we can talk about on the show. Maybe this is a great way to use the show. I'll start out. This weekend, I was at the Red Dress Run, and then I went home and took off my dress and put on men's clothes, and I went back out to the Michael Jackson Live thing, MJ Live, a tribute to Michael Jackson, at the Sanger. And then I went in the quarter after that. Nobody bothered me. Nobody shot at me. Nobody robbed me. Nobody punched me. I had a really nice evening. So I'd like to know the last time that you went out in New Orleans, and maybe it was last night or maybe it was this weekend. Have you gone out in New Orleans and nothing happened? Because, see, the news doesn't focus on this. It's not the fault of the news. The nature of news is to report the negative because that gets more attention than the positive. And we talk about this a lot, and really more people in the media should focus on these things. Because this is important to understand, the nature of news. If you don't think that human nature is intrinsically curious about negative things, then explain to me why people slow down when there's a wreck or a breakdown or anything on the side of the road. And the bigger the wreck, the slower people go. My God, if there's an EMS vehicle there, and people almost stopping to look. You don't have to look. It's human nature. So it is in our nature to look at things that are negative. If somebody has a terrible meal at a restaurant, they're more likely to complain about that than talk about the great meal they had. So again, it's human nature. So we can't blame the news, but we can blame the news if we allow the news to taint our view of the world realistically. And I can tell you that there were a lot of people that went to the French Quarter this weekend, had a great time. And again, that's not covered in the news, and it's not the news's fault. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Plus, a white man who shot an unarmed black man who pushed him to the ground is now facing manslaughter charges. I'm not surprised. When this happened, I said, hey, don't be so quick to criticize. Just wait. Let's see what happens. And sure enough, prosecutors have brought back a manslaughter charge against Michael Draca, 47 years old. He was arguing with Marquise McLaughlin's girlfriend in a parking lot over a handicapped parking space. So Marquise pushed Michael down. While he was on the ground, Michael pulled out a gun and shot the guy. And initially, police said, hey, stand your ground. He had a right to do it. So what do you think? In that case, you've seen the video. In that case, do you think the guy should be charged with manslaughter? Or do you think that stand your ground should apply and the guy was just defending himself? The problem is that the guy who pushed him didn't further attack the guy. All right, if you've got a comment, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, so a white guy shoots an unarmed black guy who pushed him to the ground. He's now facing a charge of manslaughter. Michael Draca, 47 years old, was arguing with Marquise McLaughlin's girlfriend over a handicapped parking space. When McLaughlin walked out of the convenience store and saw what was happening, he aggressively pushed Draca to the ground. While sitting on the ground, Draca pulled out a gun and shot and killed McLaughlin. I'm sure you've seen the video. This happened in Florida, which has a very strong stand-your-ground law. There was outrage that initially no charges were filed against the shooter. And I said, hold on, don't get too excited here. Wait and see what happens. Yesterday, prosecutors in Clearwater, Florida, charged Michael Draca with manslaughter. Do you agree with the charge? From what you see in the video, do you agree with the charge, or do you think that Draca should not be charged because he was aggressively pushed to the ground by McLaughlin? If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And that's the subject of our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. It's up right now on our website, wwl.com. Give us your opinion, and we will give you an update on that here in just a few minutes. Here's a text that says, so when you got robbed, were you being careless or maybe not paying attention to your surroundings? Or was it your fault in some way? If not, let's see, this text jumps around. If not, then I don't. Sometimes when you if you send a long text, sometimes it jumps from it doesn't come up next. It comes up later, and so I can't even follow that. But I think I know what this person's trying to say. No, it was not my fault. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I was filling in for Tommy Tucker that morning, and I was walking from my apartment to the station. I was in a well-lit area. I'm very vigilant, and I thought that all you have to do is pay attention to your surroundings, look around, pay attention, be in a lit area, and everything's fine. Well, these four guys proved that that's not something you can do and expect nothing to happen, because something happened. I was jumped by four guys. It was not my fault. I put myself in a situation for it to happen, but it was not my fault. So I'm careful about that. But my point is, if crime is down in New Orleans and we hear about all these highly publicized cases, which we do hear about in the news, shouldn't we be smart enough to realize that that is not a slice of reality? That it is reality to a degree, but the news doesn't cover the people that go out and come home successfully. Same thing with an airplane crash. There's an airplane crash, people freak out about flying. The most dangerous part about flying is driving to the airport. You know, but you don't see on the news all the people that successfully had a trip that day or the last week or the last 2 months or the last year. Because that's the norm, having it be a normal, safe trip. What is not normal is the extraordinary. Something bad happens. And so the nature of news is to capture the extraordinary. So I'm just pointing out that when we see things in the news, we should not allow ourselves to be defined as individuals or as a society by what we see in the news. This is not criticism of the news. It's just an observation of how the news media operates. And it operates on the idea that it is giving humans what they want, which instinctively is the negative news gets more attention than the good news. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. And from Algiers, Chef, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey, Chef.
Yeah, I think you're right about the news. It's either news doesn't just report the normal, but nobody would read it if it just said.
Well, exactly. So it's really our fault. It's the fault of the consumers of the news. It's the fault of the audience for not paying attention to the good news as much as they pay attention to the negative news. And the news knows this, and that's why the news is more negative than positive.
Yeah. Speaking of negatives, I think the office of the presidency cannot be downgraded anymore. Trump comes up, Trump wakes up and makes the presidency more disgusting every day. I mean, it's really shocking I mean, referring to a woman as a dog.
Yeah.
Another reality TV star that he hired. You know, this is the guy said, I only hire the best people. He fires.
Well, I know. I mean, Chef, even the diehard Trump loyalists, I mean, they're going to cower in their corner right now because they don't want to admit this. But this is an absolute embarrassment, this name-calling stuff. And to call Omarosa a dog is inappropriate. It shows also a very sexist side of President Trump, what seems to be an innately sexist tendency. And, you know, this name-calling stuff, that's just not something that should come from the White House. It's just not dignified.
No, I mean, but if you could argue logically with a Trump voter, well, they wouldn't be Trump voters, right? I mean, they're not... They didn't vote for Trump because they're real smart.
That's an interesting point.
Thanks,
man. All right, Chef, I appreciate the call. Look, and you know, we tend to generalize when we talk on talk radio. And so if this doesn't apply to you, then don't take it personally. There are a lot of people who voted for Trump who don't like this side of him. There are a lot of people who voted for President Trump who are not happy with his juvenile behavior in the White House. And, you know, I try to stay away from Trump because, to be honest with you, it's overwhelming. There's just too much stuff. And for people who think that I'm such a Trump basher, my God, I could do 3 hours every single day bashing Trump. I would not talk about anything else except Trump. But at some point, there's just fatigue that sets in. I mean, you get to be exhausted. And every day it's something, and it's over and over and over again. And it's not the media. It's what Trump feeds to the media. And again, remember he said during the campaign, he hires only the best people. I mean, that is an absolute laughable joke at this point. All right, crime is down in New Orleans, and NOPD Chief Michael Harrison will join us right after the news. We'll talk about why that's happening, what is happening that is good. And we'll get back with that conversation. I'm Scoot on WWL. Crime is down in New Orleans. That is the good news. NOPD Chief Michael Harrison joins us live on WWL. Chief, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
me. You know, Chief, last night Channel 4 did one of their Verify feature segments, and they verified that the idea of a summer spike in crime is really a myth. And I always thought that it was true that crime spiked in the summer.
Well, you know, I saw the...
Chief, we have a really bad connection. Ian
Hello?
Hoke is going to let Ian Hoke pick up, and he's going to talk to you for just a second. I'm just going to kind of cover while we check this connection. Armed robberies were down almost 15%. Burglaries were down 19%, and the numbers continue to trend down as we enter mid-August. Now, this does not take into consideration the 10 people shot, the 3 killed at the strip mall south Claiborne off Louisiana Avenue last month. So those would add to the statistics, but I don't know if those would totally push them over the top. And we're checking on our connection with the chief because we really couldn't hear him. Ian, why don't you get him to call us right back? Let's do this. Tell the chief we're going to take a break here. Let's take a break here. And we'll come back and talk to Chief Harrison. You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today with this topic was that while crime may be down, you and I may not feel safer. And it's because of what we see on the news on a regular basis. And so we should challenge ourselves to realize that the news does not reflect the reality of the world around us, whether it's the local news or the national news. Because the news focuses on things that are negative and not the things that are positive. And I can talk about all my positive experiences. Okay, so look, when you think about all the times that I've gone out, and I grew up in this city, and I've been going to the quarter since I was 17 years old with a fake ID, not proud of that, but I did. I got jumped once. And I should not have been at that spot at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not that I blame myself. All right, let's go back to Chief Harrison. Chief, I think this is a better connection.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm actually inside the court building downtown. I apologize for that.
All right. We can hear you now. So crime is down, but this doesn't include the shooting last month on South Claiborne off Louisiana Avenue. Is that going to change the statistics at all?
No, that's not going to change statistics. We're actually, as of yesterday, we were down 70 shootings compared to this time last year. That's equivalent to 120 fewer victims shot. So 120 is a real big number, and so that's a good thing. Now, we're only down 5 murders, but that shooting number is a really big number. And then we're down about 70 armed robberies as well. So violent crime in the violent crime area is actually down. And, you know, we're proud of the men and women, but we're not satisfied. We'll keep pushing to make sure we can remove the bad actors from the streets. And that's why we went around the city based on complaints citizens gave us about drug dealings on their corners and the dark alleys. And we engaged those drug dealers, and then we now started rounding them up last week. 71 that we picked up last week, and we put arrest warrants out for 54 more that we're in the process of picking up.
Well, one of the concerns is a lot of those people are going to get right back out on the street, and that's not your fault.
No, that's not our fault. That's always a concern, and that's an issue that we constantly work through with the court system, but that's that's their constitutional right to bail. What we want to make sure is that we do our due diligence to set the tone that we're not going to stand for them selling drugs on the streets, and we're going to hold them accountable, at least what we can do. And we want to assure the citizens that we're going after the people they are telling us are committing crimes and causing havoc in our communities. And so we're proud of the work that we're doing, and we want to make sure we build those good cases to take to court, hopefully to get convictions, and then to change these individuals' minds about selling drugs, which is causing us so many problems.
I was driving in Metairie. I was going from West Esplanade to Veterans on my way to Trader Joe's, and I saw a sign in a neighborhood that warned people to lock their cars, and that you're giving criminals an opportunity to commit crimes when you leave your cars open. We hear about so many car robberies in Lakeview and Uptown. Even considering all of that, Chief, the stats are still down?
Well, the stats are down with violent crime. You know, the car burglary seems to be spiking just a little bit, And here's what is a real important thing. In 1 week alone, we had 5 guns stolen out of vehicles, and all 5 of those vehicles were left unlocked. And that's just really unacceptable. And those guns turn up in the hands of people who then use those guns to commit violent crimes. And so that's what we're working against. And so we're certainly always telling people, number one, don't leave valuables in the car, never leave a gun in the car, and never leave the car unlocked. And never leave anything valuable where anyone can see it. And so certainly, you know, there are a number of juveniles and other folks that are walking around pulling on door handles, but if you left it unlocked, then, you know, you're just kind of asking for something to be stolen that's going to end up in the hands of the wrong person. And so, yeah, violent crime is down, and burglaries, residence burglaries are down. Business burglaries are down, but not necessarily the car burglaries.
Chief, I mentioned something recently on the air that some people thought was very, very controversial. I said that if you leave your car unlocked and there's a gun or there are valuables in the car, you are basically financing the careers of criminals by giving them an opportunity to have something of value that they can sell.
Well, it gives them an opportunity to sell something of value, but it gives them the mindset that that's acceptable and that that's how they can get things and they can continue doing it. When they go around and the cars are locked and they can't get into them, they will inevitably leave that neighborhood or stop doing it. But we kind of enable them by leaving the cars unlocked because that's how they're getting what they need. And secondly, we're also contributing to some of the violent crime. As I said, those guns sometimes are used in violent crimes. When our citizens leave their firearms in their cars, which is the worst place to leave a firearm, especially if it's unlocked.
So it's more likely that somebody's going to look for an open car door than to bash a window in.
Absolutely. I mean, you create a scene when you break a window, and then you leave traces of evidence. What they're looking for are the cars that are left unlocked where they can get in just a few seconds, take about 5 seconds to kind of glance under the seat and around and get what they can get. And that's really all it takes. But we can really solve that problem by just locking our cars. Set your phone to remind you at a certain time of night that it would alarm and remind you, and you can just do it. And that's what I do in my home. And it works. Even when I forget, the alarm goes off. It reminds me, I lock it, or I go get what's in the car and take out of it and then lock it.
Yeah,
that's the best advice I could give anybody.
It just doesn't seem like it's that difficult to remember to lock. I mean, I religiously lock my car. I mean, I don't care where I mean, I could be at somebody's house in the suburbs, a friend of mine's house, and I'm just in the habit of always locking my car. Chief, do we have a gang problem in New Orleans?
You know, we have a gang. We do have a gang issue and a gang problem in New Orleans, but it is loosely organized gangs where there is no hierarchy structure, where there's a clear leader that gives instructions, and these young folks just have really no loyalty to that model or to each other, and that's what makes them so hard to enforce. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the work of our gang unit, the work of our Tiger team, our tactical units are working constantly to identify and build cases against them. You've seen us do it in the past. There are more to come where we're identifying them and then holding them accountable through both state and federal RICO cases, putting them in jail for long periods of time because some of them are committing extremely violent acts against multiple people.
All right, very briefly, Chief, what do you say to people who say, I don't believe the statistics, I believe crime is up?
Well, you know, we want people to be safe, and we want people to feel safe. And so all of our statistics come from a digital reporting system. And so when citizens call to report a crime, it's electronically captured. We report it. We're not handwriting anything. And the amount of robberies that are reported or shootings or any other crime that reported, these are reports that we took that citizens called us for. So we're giving you back the information that you gave us. And so we can demonstrate that those crimes are actually down, and we're working to make you feel safe, just like we're making sure that you are safe. And so because we have a consent decree monitoring team with the consent decree, we have the independent police monitor, we have the Metropolitan Crime Commission, and a number of entities that oversee us and look at the work we do, we're pretty confident that, you know, that we're giving you the accurate information. This is what we have to produce to the FBI every quarter and every year. And so there's no reason for us to not give you the actual truth.
All right, Chief, any leads on the mass shooting of South Claiborne off Louisiana?
Absolutely. There are a number of leads that our investigators are following. We're pursuing every single lead. We are right now connecting the dots. And, you know, I get a briefing every morning and every evening on that case. And from what I've been briefed, there is information that has come in because of citizen help, and we're happy that citizens are calling and giving us information. We need more. But these investigators are putting together a number of leads, and we're hopeful that in the near future we'll be able to bring you some good information.
All right, Chief Michael Harrison, thanks for spending time with us here on WWL.
Thank you so much.
I'm Scoot. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Text 870-870. Yeah, I mean, look, the statistics don't lie, but that doesn't mean that you actually feel safer. But it is getting better, at least for now. We'll be right back on WWL. So, crime is down, violent crime is down in New Orleans, but do you feel safer? Maybe not because of the coverage of crime and shootings that you see in the news, but the statistics say that violent crime is down. I've got a text here that says, why shouldn't you have been in the area at 4 a.m.? Do you give the thugs that jumped you credit because it's their time to be out? Stop pandering to them, Scoot. I'm not pandering to the thugs. I'm being smart. And the reality is that there are thugs out there. And the reality is they hide in dark corners. They're more comfortable in the dark. They're more comfortable out between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Pay attention to all the crimes that take place between, say, 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. So I'm going to be smart enough to realize that I'm more likely to be jumped at that time than at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so while I don't blame myself for being there, I did put myself in a position to be there because of what happened. And I thought I was safe because it was a well-lit area. But I learned my lesson. But I spend a lot of time in the quarter. I live downtown in the CBD. I live a block off Canal Street. So I spend a lot of time in an area that many of you consider to be very, very dangerous, and I'm here. But see, that doesn't get covered in the news. I go out and I have a really good time. And there are times I go to Metairie, there are times I go to the North Shore, I go everywhere. But the fact that there are times when I don't feel as safe as I should because, again, of the depiction of what we see on the news. And so let's just be aware enough to understand that the news doesn't always reflect exactly what's going on. Here is a text that says, the chief is blaming law-abiding citizens for villains and police neglect. I didn't hear that at all in that conversation. But I'm the one who said, if you leave your car unlocked, and I've got a text here from somebody who says they live in Metairie and they never lock their car. if you leave something valuable in your car, if you leave any amount of money in your car, you are financing, you are paying for the careers of criminals. You're paying their salary. They're getting stuff from your car, and they're selling it. Now, you can argue that they shouldn't do that, that they're bad people, and I understand that, but if they're going to do it, and you don't lock your car, then it seems to me that you are actually paying the salary of criminals. If you've got a comment, our number's 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we will continue with this this conversation when we come back. Also, in just a few minutes, I'll give out a code word. And all you have to do is text the code word to 72881, and you are automatically eligible to win $1,000 in cash. We'll do this until 6 o'clock every hour. Next code word is coming up in just a few minutes on WWL. It's time for the $1,000 Intercom National Cash Contest. The code word this hour is Chrome. Text the word Chrome, C-H-R-O-M-E, to 72881. That's 72881. Text Chrome now to 72881, and you're eligible to win $1,000. It's our National Intercom Cash Contest. Next code word coming up right before the top of the hour news at 3 o'clock. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. I've got some advice for President Trump and the owner of Papa John's, and I think it's good advice for everybody. I'll share that with you when we come back. Also, if you have more comments about crime in New Orleans, we'll talk about that as well. I'm Scoot. Hang on. A lot more still to come, including the Tuesday song text-off coming up at 2:50. It's an interesting one today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.